We're going to be continuing in our series, actually rounding it up today, entitled Growing Up Like Jesus. We're going to start where we have been starting each week, at that text in Luke 2:52 that says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. And you will notice today I'm going to be highlighting, he grew in favor with men. Grew in favor with men. As we stressed last week, though, this idea of favor is not what so many people think about it. It is actually referring to good pleasure or to delight. Delight. So think about that and the idea, the concept of Jesus growing in favor with men. How many of you know that Jesus socialized with people? I don't know if he'd had Facebook today, but he was socializing. He was doing that with people who might have considered themselves to be saints and with people who, well, people would look down upon as some lowly sinners. He mingled at weddings and he even accepted invitations to dinners and banquets of people. He made friends. And he blessed imperfect strangers. Why do I say that? You know, because we always say, well, and they were a perfect stranger. Well, no one's perfect. What we mean is what we didn't know them at all, but strangers, people he did not know, or they didn't know him, at least, and he blessed them. He blessed them. Now, getting ahead of myself just a little bit, because it's important here that we emphasize something. Jesus, though he grew in favor with men, though he delighted them, though he was someone who they considered to be a pleasure to be around, he wasn't a people pleaser. He wasn't a people pleaser. He did delight those who had open hearts, but he wasn't a people pleaser. What do I mean by that? Well, as we saw last week, his priority was to please his Father in heaven. Number one, goal. Please his Father in heaven. Delight him, whether others were pleased about it or not. How many of you know you can't please everybody all the time? How many know you can't even please one person all the time? How many know you can't even please yourself all the time? You can't. But we need to strive to please God. And when we do that, and we really do that, we're going to find that we are going to be more pleasing to people. As well, we're going to find that. Think about it. Again, as we reflect on Jesus' life, throughout his childhood, matter of fact, those who recognized him favored him. They really did. I mean, there were the shepherds in the field, were there not, who gave him glory and praise. Simeon and Anna in the temple, who also gave him glory and praise and honor. There were the wise men who visited later who also gave him worship and praise and even brought gifts to him. They were showing favor for him, were they not? Yes. They esteemed him greatly. And what are the scholars in the temple? We kind of revisited them each week, just briefly, because that's the context, isn't it, of Luke 2:52. It's right after that situation, that event, where Jesus was in the temple at age 12. Just ask yourself this question. Do you think that Jesus grew in favor with them from the time he first entered the temple that day and when mom and dad came and got him? You know he did. Because they were again, just amazed, were they not? At his wisdom, at the questions he asked. They were just enthralled with him. I mean, this is just not a normal 12-year-old boy who's, you know, just interested in playing games. This isn't even one of those young men who's just gone through bar mitzvah, perhaps, you know, and done the bare minimum. No, this was a young man whose heart was devoted to God and his word. The presence of God was the air he breathed. And that the word was daily food to him. So yes, he grew in favor with them too. And such was the case as well with his followers. From the beginning again, when John the Baptist, or John the Immerser, some would refer to him, first, you know, saw Jesus coming and he said, behold, there's the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And then he baptized him, and you remember he came up out of the water, and the Father declared from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love, and him I'm well pleased." You remember that? And from that time forward, these disciples of John started following Jesus. They started following him. Part of that was because John was urging them to. He said, "Don't follow me anymore. Follow him. He's the one. He's the Messiah. I'm not him. He is." So they began following him. They had all kinds of expectations, perhaps, of what they were going to find in following him. But day by day, he grew in their favor as they recognized, you know, and heard his teaching and recognized more and more his concepts and his ability and really how he dealt with people and his healings. I mean, they were just amazed. And the time would come, you know, when he would, they'd be on that boat in that storm. You know, and they were fearing for their own lives, but Jesus just said, "Peace be still." And they said, "Who is this? Who is this that commands the winds and the waves? Who is this?" Well, and then before healing a paralytic, he would say, even before saying, "Pick up your mat and walk," he'd say, "Your sins are forgiven." And they would say, "Who is this? Who is this? Only God can forgive sins. Who is this?" You see what's happening? He was growing in favor, wasn't he? Even the eyes of his followers, day by day. And who remembers that on that Mount of Transfiguration, you can read about it in Matthew 19, when once again Jesus was glorified before them, and he had Moses and Elijah, you know, they appeared with him, and then they disappeared, and there's Jesus, and the voice from heaven again, "This is my Son. Listen to him." Do you think they were having some increased favor in their eyes for Jesus that day? Absolutely. They grew in favor. And may I remind you of those that encountered Jesus from the community, who encountered and experienced his kindness and compassion. He was appreciated by those who were healed by him. They were really enthralled by him. And what of those who knew them, who loved them, who cared about them? Don't you think he grew in their favor too? Of course. Of course. Consider what he'd done for Jairus' daughter and the centurion's servant. Not only did those who were healed or raised from the dead favor Jesus, so did Jairus and the centurion. And the whole household would have done that too. And how about those in the leper colonies? What do you think they thought of Jesus? When he healed some of them, you know, cleansed them who came to him, and they would go back to the leper colonies, do you think Jesus was growing in favor in that community? Those who were freed from the chains of isolation and possession. He also grew in favor with the women. You know, we say he grew in favor with men, but that's mankind. He grew in favor with women, didn't he? I mean, think about it. The women that he had healed, the women he had rescued. There was a woman with a bleeding disorder who just reached out and touched the hem of his garment and felt power coming into her, and she was healed. Doctors couldn't heal her. No one could help her. How do you think she felt about Jesus that day? And that day after that, and the day after that. And what of the one who was possessed? Mary Magdalene, with so many demons, and was so out of control that he healed her. He cast out this. What do you think she thought of him that day and every day thereafter? Did she have him growing in favor with her? And what about the woman caught in adultery? We read about in John 8, where, you know, they were going to stone her to death for her sin. And they asked Jesus, "What should we do with her? You know what the law says." And he just drew in the ground. You remember that? And he said, "He who has no sin, cast the first stone." And they dropped the stones and they walked away. He says, "Neither do I condemn you, but sin no more." What do you think she thought about Jesus? Seriously, what do you think she thought about Jesus? Did he grow in favor in her eyes? of course. And there was that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John 4 that we read about. A woman who had been looking for acceptance and fulfillment in relationships and gone from one person to another, another looking for that. People saw her as an outcast. They wouldn't speak to her. They wouldn't want to be seen the same place she was. But Jesus gave her dignity, treated her with respect. What do you think she thought about Jesus? Did he grow in favor with her? You know, so much so, manner that she ran and told everybody, "I found the Messiah." Not just some stranger speaking to me at the well. No. And so many of these women faithfully followed Jesus after that. Faithfully followed. And many of them actually supported him financially in his ministry. The Bible tells us that. And they followed him to the cross when others ran. And they went to pay respects at the grave as well. Remember that? I get the impression they favored Jesus. What do you think? I get the impression that he had grown in favor with them the longer that they knew him. And Jesus' popularity went through the roof when he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, after being dead for 4 days, you read about John 11, and Mary and Martha were so much in grief and anguish over the loss, but Jesus raised him. And, you know, people went wild. They really did. It was like, wow. Even in Mary and Martha's eyes, Mary and Martha, who had been so close to him, do you believe that they may have esteemed him more that day than they had before? What do you think? He was growing in favor. And all those that were aware of that and heard of that, they were just, wow. And shortly after that, see, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And it would be just about a week before his life on this earth would be taken. But if you recall, there were crowds, multitudes of people praising him, exalting him, cheering him on as he came into the town. Oh, was Jesus favored by men at that time? Had he grown in favor? Absolutely. Now, it is true that not everyone favored Jesus. Not everyone did. Matter of fact, after he went into Jerusalem, when he cleared the temple, oh, there were some who really, really favored him highly after that. You know, when he brought justice, if you will, because there were those who were abusing the people. They were price gouging them as they were trying to come to worship, coming to make sacrifices to God. And Jesus turned the tables and drove them out. So yes, the people, the general population there, they were thrilled with him. But those who were thrown out, those who were profiting from it, not so much. They weren't happy with him. In fact, some of them hated him more than those who loved him. It happened. And they incited some of those who had favored him to turn against him, except for those who were the very closest to him, who were confused, but they weren't going to turn from him. They weren't going to join the crowd of those who would say, "Crucify him." They weren't going to do that. Now think about all of that. See, Jesus grew in favor with men. I have a couple questions for you. How do most people perceive us? We're his followers, are we not? We're Christ's followers. We'd be imitating him, are we not? How do people perceive us? Do they love us or do they loathe us? Do they welcome us or do they wish we'd go away? Remember that Jesus said the first and greatest command was to do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, right? And I suggested last week that one of the reasons why he grew in favor with God, probably the primary reason why he grew in favor with God, is because that's what he did. That's the kind of love that he had for his father. He loved him just that much. But if we read on in that text, we read on, we're going to find that Jesus would say, yes, that's the first and the greatest command, but he would say the second is like it. It's like the first, the second greatest command. Some of you know what it is already. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in verse 40 of that text, he would say, and so hangs all the law and the prophets. Everything depends upon that. I've often stressed to people, you get these first two right, and you're going to get it right. As much as I encourage people to memorize as much of God's word as you can, if you memorize these two things and get that right in your heart, you will be able to know in every instance, in every situation, what God wants from you. I really believe that. If you really love him with all your heart and soul and mind, and you love others as yourself, you're going to know. You could write that down on a little card, carry it around with you, and say, well, what should I do now? Oh, oh, and I don't think you need the card, would you? Just love the Lord completely and love others as yourself. So I'm going to submit to you, see, that Jesus grew in favor with men because he did this. Because he got this right. He truthfully loved neighbors like himself. That's how you grow in favor with them. Do you know that? If you genuinely show love for other people, genuinely showing them kindness and compassion, they're usually going to like you. Usually. They're going to like you. I'm not saying that they're going to necessarily love you. I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to, you know, want to do anything you tell them or do everything with you that you want to do, but they're going to like you. You're going to grow in favor with them if you love them like this. Could it be that we've not grown in this area? That we've not grown in favor with men because we haven't loved them like we're instructed to and like Jesus showed us to? Is that possible? Why is it that Christians have such a bad reputation? What's missing? Are we people that folks would rather didn't come around? Oh no, here they come again. Oh no, it's them. Or it's him. Or it's her. Is that the way it is? If it is something missing in regard to growing up like Jesus? I asked a similar question of a friend years ago, and he replied, nobody can be just like Jesus. Come on. Nobody can be just like him. So I want to be, I'd like to be, you know, looked upon by people like him, but hey, I can't heal this sick. I can't raise the dead. I can't feed multitudes with, you know, by blessing the fish and the bread. I can't do that. After a short pause, I just said, well, don't you think we can all be a lot more like him, though, than we are? I then asked, okay, you can't heal the sick. Could you visit them? You can't raise the dead, but could you comfort them with the good news of Jesus as they're dying? And give them hope for beyond this life. And how about for those who are left behind, those who are grieving? You can't give them back the one who died, but could you give them hope of seeing them again because of Jesus? Could you do that? Could you do that? He got pretty quiet. I said, could you donate some food to the local pantry or help serve a meal to the homeless. Could you do that? Then I just ask, don't you think following Jesus will, if we really follow him, it'll move us to strive to be more like him in loving God and loving others? After all, didn't Jesus say that's how people are going to know if we're really his followers? Didn't he say that? Didn't he? John 13, 34 and 35, that's where he said, you know, a new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. He said, this is how people know that you are my disciples, that you're my followers. This is how they'll know. Not by how you wear your hair, not by the clothes you wear, not by what church you attend, but whether or not you love people like I love people. So that's the sign. That's it. My friend answered, well, yeah, I admit all that, but I need a lot of help with this. Anybody out there need a lot of help with this? To really love people like Jesus loved them, when they're unlovable, when maybe they're not appreciative, when they are disrespectful to you, when maybe they're not kind, maybe when they're different from us, they're just so different from us. You find it difficult sometimes to love them, to serve them? I told him, yeah, I need help with that too. I need help with that too. But praise be to God, help's available. Help is available. Because as Jesus tells us to love like I've loved you, if we'll accept him as our Savior and Lord, we'll truly unite with him. He gives us of his Spirit, and he will empower us and help us to live like he lived and to love like he loved. And the two go so much together. So many people think, you know, living like Jesus is denying yourself so many things. And sometimes it does call us to do that. Don't misunderstand me. But it's really doing more than that. It's saying, deny yourself and serve others. Love others. Love them. Is that really that big of a deal? Well, I think it is. And I prayed with him that God would fill our hearts with his love, as he promises in Romans 5:5. It says he pours his love into our hearts. He does that he would do that and thanked him for his patience and his grace as we're growing in that. Is it really that big of a deal? Yes, it is. But judge for yourself. 1 John 3:16 through 18, listen carefully. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. He says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Good question. Good question. John continues, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth of that by our actions. Now, I have shared before, but this word that's translated as compassion in the NIV and some of the other more modern translations, King James would say bowels of mercy. That's the term it would use. The Greek, yeah, it could be translated bowels, but we'd say our guts. You ever had a gut feeling about something? You know, our hearts can be torn. You know, our hearts can be pricked by something. But when there's a wrenching feeling, when we see somebody's hurting, someone in need, someone's grieving, hear what John's saying. Pay attention to your gut. Pay attention to that. If you don't, if God's love is really in you, you're sure not showing it. You're not displaying it. So it sounds pretty serious to me. So my second question, I said I got a couple for you. My second question is this. Has Jesus grown in your favor? Now, if he grew in favor with men, has he grown in your favor? Do you think more highly of him today than you did the first time you were introduced to him? Show of hands. I mean, seriously, do you think more of him today? Or do you appreciate him more today? Do you favor him more today than you did when you first heard about him? Well, why is that? You've got to know him better. Do you appreciate him? Do you favor him more today than you did yesterday? My hope and prayer is that every Sunday you'll favor him more at the end of the service than you will before. As we try to remind you and instill within you again this wonderful, wonderful knowledge of the Savior that we have. That the Creator and the control of the universe came to earth, humbled himself, and then gave his life, laid down his life, sacrificed everything for us. Jesus, the perfect Lamb, gave his life that we imperfect sinners might be seen as perfect in his sight. How valuable is that knowledge to you? How much does that mean to you? The more that I understand what Jesus rescued me from and what he's delivered me into and the hope that he's given me for tomorrow, the more I favor him. And I pray that's true of you too. The more you favor him. Has he done that for you? Has he rescued you? Has he saved you? Has he given you hope in the future? Then for goodness sakes, give him praise. Give him praise. Not because we're good, because he has been good and is good. Let him know what he means to you. Do as David urges in Psalm 100. Whisper real quiet so no one hears you that you love Jesus, that you love the Lord. Now keep it between yourselves, okay? That's not what it says, does it? Some of you know. Shout to the Lord! Right? All the earth. That woke you up. Shout to the Lord. That's what he says. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We're his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is sweet. You get the impression that the Lord had grown in favor in David's life? For him to esteem him that highly, praise him that loudly, and urge us to do the same thing? We've been told, to favor him. But really, the inclination here is to also, you can't do that without the world knowing too. You can't. You can't shout to the Lord without somebody overhearing it. Can you? Now, I'm not suggesting that you go around and do what I just did, you know, in the mall. They might take you out. I don't mean for good, but they might escort you out. They might do that. You're disturbing the peace. But the idea is here is to not just esteem him and favor him with words, but with deeds of love and kindness and compassion. And let me tell you, there is nothing that speaks louder to people than that. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing that speaks louder to the world than love and compassion. Loving people like Jesus has loved us. Nothing. Let's grow up in this area too. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. The name above all names, a name to be esteemed, the name that is glorious and wonderful and beautiful and good. Oh God, because the name is more than a name, it's a reputation of who he is. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for him revealing himself to us, for you, again, preserving your word for us, for your truth to be there available to us so that we can know him who loves us and who gave himself for us. And Father, we can look and study his life and see how kind and compassionate and loving he was. And Father, so often we think about, oh, we can't do what Jesus did. Help us not to focus, God, on what we can't do, but on what we can. Love people with what you give us to love them with. Begins with our hearts and all we've got. Thank you for loving us this much. And Father, I pray if there's someone here today who hasn't experienced that love, who doesn't, well, they don't know Jesus that well, and maybe they're just beginning to grow to understand, and maybe he's just growing now in favor with them. We pray, Father, we might have done something today to help them to appreciate him more. And we pray, Father, for opportunities to declare boldly the truth of who he is. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.